Welcome to the Remnant Radio program. Thank you for tuning in today. If you just found us for the first time, we'd like to welcome you to the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you will get a lot of good things. I got a guy by the name of Kyle who is a friend for many, many years, and I'm just going to give you his first name. He's going to give us a bunch of information because he's in the know. So Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Todd. How you doing?
You sound great, man, and I'm doing good. Thank you. It's kind of one of those days, and I was like, who would be like the best person to talk about what's going on today? Because we try to, you know, we have like interviews on here of just people that are doing like a movie or, you know, and that's all important stuff. But then there's days like today where it's like big news hit, you know, and I just feel like I'm a sellout if I don't talk about it, you know. So I was like, sure. I got to talk about this today. So today, Julian Assange, after many years of being in the Ecuador embassy in the UK, it looks like they went in there. There's been some developments in the last couple of days. It seems you know, there was some talk of the Ecuadorian government doing some type of espionage and kind of, you know, working to get him out. I don't know, you know, how much you know about that, Kyle, but, you know, can you just give us, so there's a lot of patriots out there today speculating, and some people, so it goes all across the gamut. Some people are outraged because, you know, they remember during the 2016 election cycle, you know, President Trump, then candidate Trump was, you know, I like that guy Assange, you know, and, you know, kind of talking about WikiLeaks and, you know, oh, WikiLeaks love it. And then, you know, today he's kind of quiet, but, you know, I think there might be a reason for that. So some people are like kind of upset with the president, like, why isn't he stepping in? Other people are saying, like people out there are saying, you know, basically, hey, you know, this is all part of the plan, and that he's going to get extradited to the United States, and they might turn state's evidence, and might start giving up all his information to Barr and the Patriots and whatnot. So what do you know? What do you think? Give me some background. I mean, what should we think about this whole thing?
Well, what do we? It goes all the way back to what is WikiLeaks?
Right. Right?
WikiLeaks is a quote-unquote journalist organization.
Right.
But have they done a lot of damage to the U.S.? Yes.
Okay.
There's no question.
Right.
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 Did they get some of that information through nefarious means? Yes, they
right.
did.
Right.
I mean, it's undeniable, right? Chelsea Manning.
Yeah.
Or let's call him Bradley because yeah. I don't recognize whatever it is now.
Right.
But. He stole government information and passed it on, right?
That's, yeah.
A lot of that puts our guys in danger.
Mm.
I mean, I don't agree with it, what their tactics are, how they get their stuff.
Right.
But, I mean, let's look at where we're at today, right? Julian Assange's been holed up for, what, 7 years?
Mm.
Beard grown out, looking disheveled.
Yeah.
You know, looks like he actually looks pretty ill.
Yeah, he does.
Compared to what the last time people saw him in public.
And people were talking about that he was having physical problems in there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you need vitamin D, and you only get that from the sun, right?
Right.
Unless you're supplementing. And,
yeah.
And the guy obviously had a huge target on his back.
Yeah.
But what we do know is, regardless of whatever they've done, or in the past, what we do know is the president is a supporter of, you know, freedom of the press.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They were putting out information, the same kind of information other journalists, quote unquote, we can call them that these days,
right.
Get from their sources.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We can't refute that.
Right.
So there's a weird double-edged sword with WikiLeaks and Julian Assange.
Hmm.
On one hand, you're like, hey, these guys are doing solid journalism and exposing truth, and you know, there is some bad stuff that goes on in the world, but some of that information has endangered people.
Right.
And I don't agree with that aspect of it.
Sure.
What I do agree with is freedom of the press.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You have some juicy information. You think it's important. Go ahead, put it out.
Right.
You know, the people need to know.
Right.
I think, this is what I think.
Okay.
I think, and this is my humble opinion.
Yeah.
The U.S. government has been trying to extradite him for years.
Right.
Right, and he obviously was holed up in that Ecuadorian embassy for his own protection.
Sure.
You had one administration that wanted to extradite him to, I think, prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law.
Right.
And that same former administration also used him as a tool.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And his company.
That's right.
You know, it was easy to call him, you know, a Russian asset.
Yeah.
Do I think Julian Assange is a Russian asset? Heck no.
No.
farthest thing that you could ever even fathom.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody, Julian Assange could be anybody's asset.
Right, I agree.
And that's solely due, he's got his own thing going. Right. Why would he want to be somebody's asset? He has no reason to, right?
Correct.
Usually you become an asset because you need financial gains or they have some type of blackmail on you.
Right.
He doesn't have any of those things in his background. So if I'm Julian Assange today, what am I thinking? If I didn't previously have some kind of deal set forth, I'm making a deal, you know, to expose whatever you're going to expose.
Absolutely.
Maybe it was time.
Right.
You know, for him.
I mean, maybe the timing said, is, you know, crazy, like, man. Yeah.
I can't take this anymore. I've self-imprisoned myself for 7 years. Mm. The United States is potentially going to make a deal with me.
Yep.
You know, and hold me to some lesser charges.
Right.
If I give up some extremely, extremely important information that I'm the only one that has.
Right.
And that might be Seth Rich.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, they only said it's like 5 years in prison. I mean, he's already kind of been in a prison, basically. I mean, it's just going to be a little bit different circumstances. I mean, not better. But, you know, I mean, if he has to serve 2-3 years, I mean, then he's free. You know, this might be a way out for him, you know. But, I mean... Agreed. I mean, there's so much information here, and it's hard to put it all around the story. Like, you know, you mentioned about Seth Rich, and I love every time I talk about Seth Rich, I get a bunch of people writing me and angry with me, and if we tweet about it or whatever. But, you know, I still remember there was a NSA whistleblower. I listened to this guy because he was with the agency for over 20 years in the NSA. I mean, he was I think it might even been 30 years. I think his last name was Benny, and he was
Bill Benny.
Yes,
right.
Benny. He was a whistleblower, and he said, and I listened. Listen to what he said. And in fact, I remember Pompeo even went and met with him. And there's an article in The Intercept, I think it came out in 2017, where they actually met and talked about this. But, you know, according to their, you know, their investigation and what they were able to see, the file transfer rate, it's not possible for it to have taken place outside of the United States, because there's nowhere in the world that has that type of file transfer rate once you go overseas. So for it to be from Russia, let's just say Russia hacking, you know, when they went back and they looked at the transfer rate, there's no way that could have happened. You see what I'm saying? So what they came to the conclusion, the NSA in their official response said there's a moderate chance that the DNC was hacked by Russia. Now, that's the NSA. They have by far the most, you know, eyes on the situation, information available to them, all the optic sensors, and far more than, you know, they keep saying 17 intelligence agencies and all this garbage. But it's really the NSA. And here's a man that is a veteran from the NSA for, I think, 30 years or something like that. And he's saying, look, it came from a thumb drive. Okay, so a thumb drive. So if it came from a thumb drive, that would go back to the Seth Rich story, which makes far more sense, has far more plausibility than it being the Russians. I mean, am I crazy in coming to that conclusion?
Oh, heck no. And let's look at that. Did the FBI ever look into their servers in the DNC? No. The DNC did not allow them to. Why? Why not? Why didn't the FBI ever warn the president that he was supposedly being spied upon by Russia?
Exactly.
Right? Why is the FBI absent when it comes to the Democrats? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's a great question. Yeah.
If you've had some serious intrusion that has election implications and national security implications, why would you not call the premier law enforcement agency and not have them investigate and look at your servers? They have the best counter cyber unit in the world,
right,
working for them directly.
Right.
And why do you not do that? Well, the reason why you don't do that, I suspect, is because you know what happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you need to create a report so you dial up CrowdStrike, who is on your payroll, and you say, you're going to give us a report. You're not going to come to the same conclusion that we know,
right,
but you're going to give us some report that we can then use for the public that is non-legally binding, as if a federal law enforcement agency had conducted the investigation.
There you go.
So,
yep.
Very interesting, isn't it?
It's extremely interesting. And if I think of like a Saul Alinsky strategy or a Clouden Piven strategy, or you know, even go back to Stalin or whoever you might want to quote on this, but if you repeat a lie over and over and over and over again, most people don't have the time, like you and I, and I know you probably know a lot more than me, but, you know, that can research and, you know, really get to the bottom. Because this is like, I mean, I've done like a major investigation to know what I know, and I'm sure you have too. So you know, knowing what I know, like, they keep saying Russia hacked the election. So the average American, even on the Republican side, even conservative, I've heard conservative congressmen tell me this, that, you know, Russia hacked the election. And I keep hearing Russia hacked the election, Russia. And from my research, the machines are not connected to the internet. So how could they hack the election? They didn't hack the election. It's not even a possible thing unless they went into every precinct and put in malware or something like that. But that would be an enormous job, and it's not even possible. And not to mention, there's far more corruption, you know, with other entities, not Russia, you know, when it comes to the voting systems and Soros that made some of the machinery, some of his companies and whatnot. But let's get back to the, so the whole Russia hacked the election, it's nonsense. It's not even a possible thing. Now, possibly they could have hacked the DNC servers, but again, that goes back to the investigation I was just talking about with Benny, where who's a, you know, a veteran at the NSA, who's saying, look, the download speed, it's not even possible. You know, the analytics that we ran, you know, and the investigation that we're looking at, this data, this raw data, it's not possible. So he's saying it had to be a thumb drive, or at least an internal U.S. you know, citizen that did it, somewhere in our system, in our nation, because that's the only way they could have that download rate. So that being said, how is it that this Russia hacked the election story is still reverberating? It's still kind of the main narrative.
Well, the Russia hacked the election was a talking point that was developed just before the or just post 2016 election, right? That was we need to make up an excuse why we lost,
right?
Right. So we're going to push this thing out. And it's psychological operations kind of coin phrasing, right? So if I go out and I tell you, Paco poured, you know, poison in the well,
right?
You know,
right.
And I tell you that, and then you tell that to somebody else,
yeah.
And then we keep repeating that over and over and over again. Once people hear about it enough, they're going to start to believe it.
Paco poisoned the well.
So that narrative laid the groundwork for where we are today. A single narrative laid the groundwork for where we are today. It was the basis for their investigation that we know is a hoax. Mm. It was the basis for the disinformation you see in mainstream media to destabilize the presidency.
Wow.
So that one phrase, Russia hacked the election, has done more damage to this country than anybody has seen possible.
Yes.
Or saw possible. So, you know, going back to what you were talking about transferring of data.
Right.
We're talking about terabytes.
Correct.
This isn't gigabytes. This is terabytes of information
that
was pulled.
Right.
So it is virtually impossible, like you said, to do that without being caught in the process.
Right.
Because, you know, any decent security system is going to flag, you know, hey, we're losing terabytes of information by the second here. It's being transferred off out of our facility.
Right.
And, you know, the security system is going to alert. You know, and it's going to get shut down. So it had to have been internal.
It had to.
Here's the more interesting thing, and people don't want to talk about this or forget to mention. Where's Seth? How come nobody's found Seth Rich's killers?
Thank you. And Sean Hannity was kind of talking about it.
Yeah. He did a deep investigation. I'm not going to talk.
Okay.
Entity or agency.
Sure.
Did a deep investigation, and there's literally only one path of egress from that street corner that has no cameras.
Wow.
There are 30 cameras within a 1 square mile radius.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, you know, the first thing in an investigation that law enforcement will do is they're going to look for cameras.
Right.
And then they're going to contact the owner and see if they can pull the information off of the video.
Right.
Right? That's going to lead you to your killer.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. How in this day of modern technology have we not caught Seth Rich's killer when there's 30 cameras and only one path of egress? You're either really, really, really smart hitman and knew that was the case.
Right.
Or the police have just completely dropped the ball.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, in the age of social scores in China and facial recognition software all around the world and on so many cameras, and like you said, I mean, you're literally almost every minute that you're in public, you're on some camera somewhere. And, you know, where is the outrage? Where is the investigation? Why can't they just answer the simple question of why didn't the FBI look into the servers? And where, like President Trump said, where are the servers? Where are these servers? You know, and how come they aren't the main focus? Because any logical person, the first thing you would do is go to check out the server. I mean, that's just logical.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It's especially if it's an international crime we're talking about.
Yes, yes. And people's lives that are being destroyed. If you look at General Flynn, he had to, you know, sell houses. And, I mean, it's just, you know, Roger Stone, you know, here's an elderly man in Florida being raided like he's like, you know, the mob boss, you know, and, you right. know, scared in the middle of the night. I mean, CNN gets an exclusive and, you know, just all the different things about George Papadopoulos, what he went through. I mean, you know, I can go on and on. But what about what the American people have gone through for over 2 years now? You know, the mainstream media with the same thing over and over and over. Russia hacked the election. You know, people don't even question it anymore. Well, I'm here to question it because it just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, to my investigation, to your investigation, the people that have actually done real investigation here, you know, it's not possible to hack the election, A. B, the first thing I would do is check out the servers. C, like you said, there's cameras that could get Seth Rich and find out who killed him. Why did Seth Rich die? Isn't it a little coincidental that he died after he, you know, exposed this information about the DNC? I mean, you got Guccifer 2.0, you got, I mean, all the different people, Kim.com, that have come out and said they'd be willing to talk about certain things. WikiLeaks said it wasn't Russia. WikiLeaks has an impeccable record for truth. I mean, they really have no reason to lie about it. It just goes on and on. So now today, here's this guy being paraded outside of the embassy, you know, a very, very, you know, vocal, you know, focal scene, just, you know, worldwide attention, you know, all in the news cycle today. And so I'm just wondering which is going to be the future now. Is it going to be that this guy ends up turning into the biggest witness ever against the deep state? And, you know, this is the plan, or, and I guess we really just don't know that at this point, because we can't know that, because if we did, you know, the deep state would be going crazy. So they can't really show their cards. But I know that's a lot of people's thought right now, is that could be happening. And it's just an interesting thing. You know, anything else you want to share on that? Or,
well, what we do know is fact, right? We do know that the U.S. has filed for extradition, right?
Yes.
Once that witness is in custody, right? He's facing some pretty serious indictments from what I saw today.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Right?
Yeah.
And it, obviously, I guess Chelsea Manning is not singing at all. Okay. And those are what those indictments are based on.
Right.
Right? But the indictments are serious charges, but the man is a wealth of information.
That's right.
Right? WikiLeaks is holding more documents, obviously.
Right.
And they slowly drip them out.
Right.
But the question that remains, will Assange become a witness, like you said?
That is a question, yeah.
That is a wealth of information. But what did we hear from Bill Barr? That, yes, we're investigating the investigator.
Yeah. Yeah, that was huge.
If you want to try this thing all the way back to where this Russia thing came from, that narrative is part of the story. The DNC was hacked is part of the story.
Mm. Yeah, and just the fact that there's certain things that have happened, like the former White House counsel to President Obama getting arrested, you know, getting indicted. You know, Avenatti, you know, going down, you know, looking like a really serious prison sentence he's looking at right now. I mean,
300 years facing.
300 years.
Yeah.
Here's the guy that tried to take the president down, and I would say, wow, you know, you reap what you sow. I mean, it's amazing what that guy's dealing with right now. And Stormy Daniels and that whole debacle, she ended up having to pay out as well. And you know, so if you look at the news cycle and you see what's happened with the Mueller report coming out with the no collusion, no obstruction, you know, basically exonerating the president. And then all of a sudden, days later, you know, literally within like a week or so, Julian Assange. I mean, it's very coincidental to me, I have to say.
Well, look at the entire mainstream media. What if you're a Chuck Todd?
Yeah.
Or you're a Don Lemon or and one of these guys, and you've been on trumpeting this thing for 2.5 years, and you're claiming yourself to be a serious journalist. No, what you are is a paid shill for the DNC.
That's correct. Yep.
Spewing concocted narratives.
Yeah.
So, you know, look at the impact that's going to come out if the truth entirely comes out. What does that do to American media?
I mean, just continues to discredit their already very discredited, you know, track record. And I continue to tell people, you got to look back to Operation Mockingbird, you know, where the CIA was directly involved in giving propaganda to the media. And then, you know, President Obama used an executive action to actually say that it was okay to use propaganda against the American people. And people say that's a conspiracy. Just Google it. I mean, it's right there, you know, for you to see. So, you know, when you put those pieces together and you realize that we're basically listening to a completely false story, you know, that's why people don't believe the media. That's why CNN's ratings are in the tank. That's why MSNBC is starting to see major tanking in their ratings. And, you know, people are searching for truth. But I, you know, when I hear like somebody who I know doesn't do research, Kyle, and I just hear somebody that's like, you know, barely even, I mean, they're watching American Idol most nights, they're not paying attention. And when they say, hey, this is a little strange, this is a little, you know, that's when I know it's hit mainstream, man.
Yeah, it's starting to make an impact. And I think that there's only probably about 30 to 40% of the country who's deeply engaged in what's going on.
Sure, sure.
And then the remainder is this drive-by kind of consumer of right. information.
Right.
So, you know, that other percentage has been getting this narrative spoon-fed daily.
Wow.
And so now it's a matter of getting the truth out, you know, because once the truth comes out, I hope that America heals.
Right.
But right now we're on the cusp of potentially a kinetic war in 2020.
Sure.
You have a large sect of this country who is so convinced that to this day, even though we've seen the Mueller report, that the president is working for Russia.
Unbelievable.
They're so indoctrinated and so damaged that they will not let it go. And that's a scary place to be as a country.
It's scary. And especially when the real collusion, I mean, we just saw with the Ukraine and you know, elements of the deep state, you know, guys like George Soros that were actively involved in the Orange Revolution, just, you know, things that have happened. You know, it's actually they're mirroring, they're portraying what they've actually done. Uranium One, you know, just, I mean, actual treasonous acts, you know, giving a foreign state, you know, enemy, you know, uranium. I mean, dropping millions of dollars on tarmacs of our biggest enemies and adversaries. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's actually unbelievable when you think of the things they got away with. And, you know, Hillary Clinton with the emails, it just goes on and on.
Well, in that whole entire Obama administration, we know about Joe Biden's son, right?
Yes.
Gets a cushy job, $3 million job with an oil company in the Ukraine, $3 million a year salary, or a board seat, rather, $3 million a year board seat, and doesn't have any knowledge in that type of field.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And then when the Ukrainian, I guess he would be the equivalent of a prosecutor, started looking into corruption in the Ukraine, Joe Biden was just on tape this week,
yes,
bragging about how he had him fired.
That's right. That's right.
So you want to talk about collusion and obstruction? He essentially, you know, was involved in having a Ukrainian investigator removed because he was investigating his corruption.
It's unbelievable. Listen, the show is almost over here. We're down to about a minute left, but, you know, what are we looking at going forward? I mean, do you see indictments coming down? What do you think?
I see big time indictments. I think the president's fully vindicated. And I think by 2020, he wins in a landslide.
Yes, yes. I like that prediction, Kyle. We're going to go with it. And listen, this guy knows what he's talking about, as you can tell. I think I know a lot. And then I get him on the line and he's just breaking it down. Kyle, thank you so much, man, for being a guest on the show again. Truly appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Todd. You have a good evening.
Thank you. Hey, hold on real quick. And we're going to go to a commercial break. Thank you for listening to the Remnant Radio program. And we'll be back.